Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and keep your finger there, and we'll... If you're like me, you've seen that this motorcyclist zipped through the traffic like a rocket. And through on I-19, I-10, Tucson, and even this area, without helmet on. And their excuse for not wearing helmet is, well, I like the wind blowing through my head. Well, how about the feeling of your head smashing against the asphalt pavement at the speed of 45 to 90 miles per hour? Would you like that? And they said, no. Then wear that bucket on your melon. See, according to the friend of mine who used to ride a motorcycle in Tucson area, I call him Cowboy Pastor. Now he's a pastor up in the Calvary Chapel White Mountains. He said, I asked him, what is it like riding a motorcycle in Tucson summertime? He said, I was standing in front of a gigantic blow dryer, hot air all over my body. Okay, I'll stick with my truck air conditioning just fine. Thank you very much. It's like any part of the armor we've been studying. The helmet has been made many transitions and improvement. Ancient helmet was pretty much a leather cap with a metal piece embedded. So when the enemy trying to crush the head, it will protect them and will reduce the blow. In many times in battle, the enemy will try to crush the head or simply cut off the head from the shoulder. Roman soldiers had a more fancy helmet than other military units as like that. Some of the unit has a different feather colors. The closer to the emperor, the feather become darker. Actually, Praetorium guard, they would wear the black feather. Spiritually, it seems clear that when Apostle Paul speak of a helmet, he's referring to man's heart and man's mind and understanding. That is because Satan recognized the value of first getting in the foothold of in the realm of the thought and imagination of believers. And he knows that it will prepare the way that the thought translate into action. I like what American poet of 19th century, Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "So a thought, you reap an action. So an act, and you reap a habit. So an habit, and you reap a character. So a character, and you reap destiny." Isn't that a truth? Proverbs chapter 23, please. Keep your finger in Ephesians and go to Proverbs chapter 23. Bible speaks what Emerson said in much simpler format. Verse 7, first portion of verse 7. For as he think in his heart, so is he. All right, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and we will pray. Heavenly Father, many people think that once they are saved, they don't have to change their lives. They don't have to do anything. How untrue that is. Father, teach us that our salvation is guaranteed through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. But we must remember that the salvation is continuing and will be happen again in heaven. Father, let our heart be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's teaching. And Father, we are asking you to anoint the one who speak and forgive his sins. His sins are many. And we also pray for President Obama that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Whatever it takes, do not allow him to rest in his heart until he completely surrenders his heart to you. Father, we pray for our soldiers, our law enforcement personnel and firefighters, those who who risked their lives for our safety and freedom. Father, we are asking you to watch over the ones who attend our church services, like Pastor Merrill Simon, and other law enforcement personnel and firefighters who always risk their lives for our safety. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17 of first half, and to take the helmet of salvation. Some of you may wonder, I am born again Christian. I received salvation through Jesus Christ, His mercy and grace. Why do I need to wear the helmet of salvation again in the spiritual warfare? I'm glad you asked. Because according to the Bible, Jesus said, yes, no one can snatch you out of Father's hand. That is true. But the logic that you said, you may say that, you know, no, I don't need to wear the helmet of salvation. That logic has a flaw. Two problems. Number one, salvation is not only in the past, but also for the present and future. Let me explain. Jesus has saved us from our sin on the cross. That is a justification. That's the beginning of salvation. And the Holy Spirit saved us from our sins and on a daily basis. He's delivering us from our potential disaster by keeping us in His care and changing us into the image of Son each and every day. That is what we call sanctification. God the Father will save us in the future from the wrath that to come, and He will welcome us into the heaven. That's what we call glorification. So we are saved by the grace of God, and we are being saved by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we will be saved by being glorified. Second point that I'd like to make it to you is a proof of a true conversion is in how we live our lives to the end of our lives. It is important for you to be saved. If you are not a born-again Christian, you will not go to heaven. That's not what I said. That's not what I insist. But that's what the Bible says. If you want to argue with me, don't bother, because I will point you to the Bible. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. See, it is important you being saved, but not as important as how you live your life right now and how you finish your life at the end of your life. Many Christians in America claim that they are Christian. Somehow they think that because they were born in America, as by default, they are Christian. Or they say, well, I'm not a murderer. Well, that's good. I'm glad you are not a murderer. But that doesn't mean that you're going to go to heaven automatically. Even those who proclaim to be a born-again Christian do not live according to what the Bible tells them to do, too. And they do not think that Bible contains the absolute truth. Nor are they willing to obey the authority of the Word of God so that they live according, but that they live according to however they want to live. Let me put it this way. The reason why I said is, this is something recently happened. Thursday, I found out a friend of mine who I've known him for 13 years. He's a pastor of the church in Calvary Chapel in Michigan. Out of blue, his wife, I guess she had a history of that, decided to commit adultery, full-blown adultery. And she took off. Because the qualification that mentioned in Titus and 1 Timothy chapter 3, pastor, elder, must rule the house in order. Because she took off, he is no longer qualified to be a pastor. So he resigned. You know, if you're a doctor, if you're a professor, you can live your life however you want to live. But the pastor's life is much different. Very narrow. That wife, was she saved? I believe so. Is she going to be saved if she die right now? I don't know. I don't know. Because she disobeyed God, she walked away from the grace of God. She denied the authority of God. She denied the authority of the Bible. You shall not commit adultery. Simple as that. And people say, well, God is a God of love, so He will forgive me. Yeah, He will forgive you if you repent. But if you are going to repent, but you are still committing the sin, how do you know that you will continuously, eventually you will repent? That kind of willful sin will cause a problem, serious, serious problem in your salvation. Don't even go there about the eternal security of salvation. In my opinion, from what I read the Bible, you have a choice to come to Jesus Christ. You have a choice to leave God. As we studied last week, before the ancient soldier get into the actual sword-to-sword and face-to-face hand-to-hand combat, they get a barrage of the fiery darts and the flaming arrows. And then there's actual combat, hand-to-hand combat, and what I call the bad breath distance. You can smell the bad breath because it's so close. Have you ever stood in front of a person who has a real bad breath? It's like, whoa, step away. That's short distance, and they're trying to cut each other's head off. You know, if that person, if that soldier is now wearing the helmet, it will be a really, really bad day for him. Enemy's blow can crush that person's helmet. It is the same spiritually. We are constantly taking an onslaught of fiery darts and the flaming arrows of the worldly temptations and discouragement, condemnation, deception, and many ungodly influences. Then ungodly thought pops in our mind. At that moment, we do have a choice. We do have the choice to give in or to fight off by protecting our hearts. If we have a helmet of salvation, we can fight it off with the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we don't have that helmet, we would give in at the first attack. You know, Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' time, and they bragged about that they never committed adultery, they never murdered anyone, of course, physically. But then this confronting young rabbi from Galilee, former carpenter, pulled their mask off by telling them this in Matthew chapter 5, please. Of course, that is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus speaking. You have heard, he's speaking to the people as well as the Pharisees. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Stop there, please. Some of you heard that. They're standing against the execution of the death row inmate. They will say, you cannot kill death row inmate because the Bible said you shall not kill. Have you ever heard that? That is wrong. Bible never said you shall not kill. There's a difference between you shall not kill and you shall not murder. Kill can happen. Soldiers kill because they defend themselves or they attack an enemy's stronghold. Our police officers kill criminals who are trying to kill other people. If the criminal comes to your home and try to kill you or kill your family and you defend yourself, that is self-defense, just by killing. That's a killing. But murder is a different story. It's a premeditated killing. That's a different. Let's go back. And whoever murdered will be in danger of judgment. Verse 22 says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. In other words, if you're thinking about hatred toward your brother without cause, then you're in danger. Verse 27, go down to verse 27. Again, Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In other words, we are all guilty, are we not? According to this, what Jesus said, I am guilty of murdering many, many people in my heart, murdering those who work in the federal government, especially in Washington, D.C. The way it's going on in this world, in this country, and what they are doing to this country, I am murdering them. And I have to ask God to forgive me. As far as God is concerned, if we are thinking about hatred toward a person or lust toward another person, we are guilty of sinning. I'm sure that these are the reason many people resent the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just want you to get rid of the action. He wants us to protect our mind and thought by no longer desiring and thinking about these ungodly things. The way the Lord does that is by providing us with the helmet of salvation. When I wear the helmet of salvation and be on guard against the oncoming the enemies to crush my heart and mind, I will not entertain the thoughts that are sinful and spiritually harmful. Folks, I cannot stop what the world is doing, but I can stop what's coming to my mind. I can make a choice not to be influenced by the temptation. I cannot stop the temptation coming to me, but I can stop not to play with that temptation. Some of you are thinking, well, preacher, I get it, but it sounds vague in how to fight against temptation. Why didn't you say so? I'll explain. Go to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. This is a very important verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Let me read one more time. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. That means they are not coming from God the Father, but is of the world. Please note the Apostle John here breaks down the basically three categories of our sins. Lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. Let's look at one at a time. The lust of eyes is a mental temptation. It's a mental temptation. It is what we see, contemplate, think about, and here it is. Fantasize now. Over. Most sins begins here. Because we make a choice to allow the temptation to move from our sight to our mind. In April 6th this year, FCC, Federal Communication Commission, announced it's considering relaxing the decency standard that governed nudity and profanity on broadcasting television, prime time. In other words, F-bombs and some female frontal nudity would be kosher during the primetime TVs. And you may say, how can it be? Well, there are five commissioners in the FCC. And they are all appointed by President Obama. So I'm not surprised at their decision. While we cannot control all the things in the world that we are exposed, but we can control a few things. We can control what we watch at home on television. We cannot control what the Hollywood is doing. But we can control whether we are willing to go see that movie or not in the theater. We cannot control what the magazine publishers are doing, but we can control what we read in the magazine and newspaper. And We cannot control what the music makers do, but we can control what kinds of music we listen to. Have you ever heard, those who play music so loud, and you don't know where they are, but you can hear the thump, 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 thump bass sound. I was in Tucson about a week ago, and I just got out from the store and standing in the sidewalk, on the sidewalk, and I heard this boom, 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 boom sound. And I was looking around, who parked the car so near that I can feel on my heart. I couldn't even see it. About 200 yards from that direction, car is coming, but this guy had the window closed. And I can feel his bass sound. And I thought, how are your eardrums, boy? Can you imagine his hearing capacity? Majority of rap music, secular rap music, is a vulgar. Now, if you have a children, or you yourself, or your grandchildren, sit down together and read their lyrics, if that's the right thing for them to listen to. And they say, well, I don't really get into the lyrics. I like the beat of it. If you like the beat, why are you moving your mouth while you're listening to that music? They know exactly what they are hearing. You don't have to listen to that kind of thing. Second thing is the lust of flesh usually follow the lust of the eyes. At this stage, thoughts are translated into actions. A person who has fallen into the lust or desire of flesh, basically a person who gives in to his impulse. That is very important, giving in to the impulse. I have a neighbor who has a dog and have an overgrown rat. You may call it Chihuahua. She has a Chihuahua. I like it. I like Chihuahua too. It's, even though it's a snack size, not even a full meal size. Relax, it's a joke. These dogs pretty much do whatever they choose to do. If they want to take a nap, they collapse, take a nap. If they are hungry, they drag their nose around the yard or go into the house and rustle up something to eat. And whatever they urge to do, they do. They want to bark, especially at me, they bark all the time. And you're thinking, no wonder they bark at you. See, they're following their impulse. Did you get that? They're simply animals following their impulse. Do you know there are people, even Christians, who follow the impulse? They gratify their carnal desires over what pleases God. They give in whatever their impulses are. Third category, the pride of life is more subtle. You might be a person who doesn't indulge other sinful activities. You are a moral person. You live a moral life. You have a fine family. You work hard with honesty and enjoy a good career. You're pursuing the excellence in knowledge. And you might even be a religious person. So you're patting your own back and thinking, I am so good, I'm so wonderful, I'm so moral, and I am, best of all, I am so humble. You can be deceived by the pride of life. Egotism and pride are as much a deception as the lust of flesh or the lust of the eyes. Or you give in to the lust of eyes first and you go down to the lust of flesh and then you go transfer to the pride of life. Because you're thinking that, well, I deserve this kind of carnal action because I'm special. And the pride of life would justify, get the pride of life, would justify and rationalize one sin without a bunch of, with a bunch of lame garbage excuse. Do you know what the excuse means? It's nicely packaged lies. That's what it is. Behind every sin, pride of life resides. Thinking that you can get away with it, and it is okay with God because you are special. Do you know who thought about that? Jimmy Schweiger. You may remember him in around the 80s or 90s. Because I am saving all these people, I'm doing good works for God, God would let me get away with this kind of sexual sins. First of all, Jimmy Schweiger never saved one soul. No man saved anybody's soul. Only Holy Spirit does. And another thing, here's a rude wake-up call. God is a respect of no one. You think you're special to God? Because you are a child of God? Yes, you are a child of God. You are special, but not in the way you sin or I sin. With these three ideas in mind, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, let's see if we can find the same problem at the Garden of Eden when Eve encountered Satan. Go to the Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was, note that three words, good for food. That is the flesh, lust of flesh. And that was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, there it is. And the tree, desirable to make one wise. And there's the pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. There is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Get this, guys. It's not that they did not have a food. The garden is filled with the food. Their pantry probably was filled with the food. But they chose that particular tree, that particular forbidden fruit tree. And they're standing there holding onto it and thinking about eating it. Why? Because the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Enemy will hit you in this three area over and over and over because he knows it works. Start with the eyes. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you do. Be careful in your heart, pride of life. It's not good enough for us to not having ungodly thoughts in our mind and hearts. What if I just get rid of this ungodly heart from my heart and make it empty? Is it good? No, it's not good. Go to Matthew chapter 12, please. Verse 43, please. When an unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes through the dry places, seeking rest and find none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. When he comes, he finds it's empty. This is the person's mind, and he is a demon, and put in order. And he goes out and take with him seven other spirits, even it's more wicked than himself. And they enter, dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. It is true, born-again Christian will not be possessed by demons. Will not be possessed demons. However, Christian, born-again Christian can be also demon-oppressed and influenced. They may not be possessed, but they can be oppressed or influenced. If you just have nothing in your mind, if you don't fill your heart with the godly things that replace ungodly things, you will be attacked ferociously by demons. So, what do you replace with? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, please. Our memory verse. We must replace ungodly thoughts with what God approves. Philippians 4:8, right before Colossians. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Replace ungodly thought, ungodly mind with godly thought. Let me say this. What kinds of music do you listen to? When you travel, when you commute to your work, when you come to home, what kinds of music, what kinds of talk show radio do you listen to? Is it country music? Is it hard metal music? And you may say, well, Christian music don't have a country music. Really? I can find it for you. And you may say, well, Christian music does not have a rap. Oh, you don't know about Christian music. Christian music does not have a hard metal music that I like, headbanging music. You don't know that either. They do. I just don't listen to them. It hurts my ears. Most of all, I cannot understand what they're saying. I can say, I can hear Jesus, Lord, and then the rest of them is gobbled up. They like to sing that way. You can find any type, any style of music in Christian music. So that is a lame excuse. And talk show radio, this is a bunch of jibber-jabber stuff. Why not replace that with the teachings, sermons, or Bible verses? Bible, audio Bible. Replace them. Have you ever heard this phrase? Garbage in? What's that? What's the next phrase? What you put it in will come out. If you listen to the country music, I'm picking on country music, I like country music, talking about having an adultery of relationship with somebody's wife or the having a sex before marriage, that kind of thing, guess what? You will have that kind of relationship because that is a norm. You will justify, because I love this guy, I love this woman. What goes in will come out. What you reap, what you sow, you will reap, as the Bible says. Please be careful what you allow to come into your heart and mind. Wear the helmet of salvation and keep it on. Otherwise, Satan is trying to destroy your spiritual head, that is your heart and mind. Two applications for you. Number one, we cannot control the length of our life, because we don't know when we're going to die. But we certainly can control the depth of our life. Amen? Number two, wear the helmet of salvation and keep it on, otherwise Satan is trying to destroy your spiritual head, that is your heart and mind.